So I wonder what I'm going to speak on this morning. Nothing. Huh? Can you read? Okay, thank you. Just a quick review. We did, for several weeks, the first epistle of John, right? Yes? No, maybe? Okay. What was the heresy, the false teaching, that John spent a great deal of time teaching against in 1 John? What? It's called Gnosticism. That was the easy question. Here's a harder one. What is Gnosticism? Notice I used the word is, not was. It's not over and done with. It's still around. What is Gnosticism? This is what teachers call the wait time. You know, we wait for an answer. Gnosticism. Jim. That's definitely part of it, the major part of it.
You can do what you want with the physical because it's evil and doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's going to be destroyed. And if the physical is evil, they said, was Jesus Christ a physical being? No. If he was not a man, could his death then take away man's sin? No. So denying the humanity of Christ also denies the power of God to forgive man's sin. This is why it was such a dangerous heresy. This is why John wrote that first epistle to argue against this false teaching. Did we find Gnosticism last week when Leo talked about 2 John? Yeah. Guess what we're going to find in 3 John? Yeah, it's still there too. John is very concerned about the churches in Asia Minor around the city of Ephesus. We have no concluding proof that he wrote those three letters to the church at Ephesus, but there's, you know, pretty good idea that we do have this idea that he did write these letters to the church at Ephesus and the surrounding area of Asia Minor. He's very concerned about their progress. Last week, Leo was talking about 2 John. What did John call himself in the second epistle of John? The elder. Guess what he calls himself in 3 John? The elder, yeah. What is an elder? Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Leo talked about it last week as well. In 2 John, the elder, the leader in the churches, John the apostle, said that they were not to offer hospitality to whom? Anybody who denied Christ, any of the false teachers that going around spreading this heresy of Gnosticism and other heresies as well, John said, do not offer hospitality to them. In 3 John, we're going to find the opposite of that. Where John the Elder is telling us, here's who you should be offering hospitality to. Here's the title I've given my sermon this morning. Instructions for Christian Living. I have an alternative. What to do and what not to do. And then another one I made up myself. Aspiration and avoidance. You gotta love alliteration, don't you? I mean, come on. It's just aspiration and avoidance. Things to aspire to and things to avoid. Instructions for Christian Living. If you have your Bibles with you, could you open them up to 3 John? If you don't have your Bible with you, there's one in the pew sitting right there in front of you. Real easy to find 3 John. It's the last third book. No, it's the third last book in the New Testament. Here's something interesting about 3 John that I never knew before. It is the only book in the New Testament that never mentions the name Jesus or the title Christ. Not anywhere in the book. The only book in the New Testament that doesn't mention Jesus. What's the only book in the Old Testament that never mentions the name God? Oh, very good. Some of you get a B+. 3 John, verse 1. The elder, that's John, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Last week we read through 2 John, and Leo pointed out that word truth is found, I think it was 5 times in 2 John. In 3 John, it's found 7 times. Why in the world, in such a short book, what, 14 verses, is John going to mention the truth 7 times? No idea. It's a good thing I'm here. He's going to mention it 7 times because he's arguing for the truth. Remember Gnosticism? The heresy? False teaching. There's plenty of it around. And John, the elder, wants to teach truth. 7 times. Here we go. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Wow, there it is. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name. For the sake of the name. Whose name? Oh, it's Jesus, of course. Do you think Christians would understand what John was talking about? The name. Sure. How about non-Christians? How about those false teachers? Something to think about. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. What's a pagan? No idea. A non-believer? A non-Christian? Who is John calling non-Christians? The Gnostics. Oh, Bob, we're not supposed to call into question another person's salvation. Really? Isn't that what John's doing? They're pagans. Wow. It was for the name of the sake, for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, so that they may work together, we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so, and even puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. You understand the severity of what John the Elder is saying? Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him. You know that our testimony is true. I have much to write you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Do those last two sentences sound familiar? They're exactly the same two sentences that we found at the end of 2 John last week. Exactly the same thing. John has a lot more to say to these churches in Asia Minor. But he doesn't want to put it down on pen and paper. What he wants to do is tell them face to face. I have a confession to make. I hate phone calls. I mean, I hate phone calls. I can remember as a teenager in high school, I hated talking on the phone. What? Yes, a teenager who hated talking on the phone. People would call me up and say, "Hey, I just want to talk." Okay, great, I'll be right over. And I used to drive over to their house. I want to talk to people face to face. You understand that? What did John want to do? He has a lot to say to these people. But he doesn't want to do it on pen and paper. He wants to do it face to face. Do you get the idea that John really has a tender heart, a compassion, an empathy for these Christians in churches in Asia Minor? He's got a lot to tell them, a lot they need to hear. And he's saying, I'm going to come and tell you face to face. So you can see me, I can see you, and I can do more than just teach. But we can sit down, have a cup of coffee. I don't know about back then. But we can sit down and converse. Have a dialogue. Because that's how you really instruct people. Third John. Written by John the Elder. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 5, we read about what Paul considers, or Peter considers, qualifications for these people called elders. Last week, Leo told us that sometimes they're called overseers, sometimes they were referred to in the New Testament as bishops, sometimes they're called shepherds. They're people who have been called by God to lead a church in a local area. Who are they? Do you know who are the elders here at Dunning Park Chapel? You know who they are? Right now, if you are called by God to be an elder here at Dunning Park Chapel, I would ask you, please, if you could stand up so that people here will know who we are talking about here this morning. So if you're an elder, could you just stand up here, please? There are several that are not here this morning. Josh Pozovi, Dave Erickson, Leo, George. I think that's it, right? Pardon me?
Us four and Dave, Josh, and
Leo. George. Yeah. George, yeah. You guys can have a seat. Thank you. I want you right now to spend a minute by yourself praying for these gentlemen. They have an awesome responsibility before God to be the leaders here in this church. And I know through God's word and through my own experience that there is someone out there who is seeking to destroy their lives. They need our prayer. So right now, just by yourself, could you bow your heads and pray for the leaders that God has raised up here at Dunning Park Chapel? Father, we thank you for these leaders that you have called. We thank you for their willingness to serve you and to serve us. Father, we pray for their safety. We pray for them and their families, that you would put a hedge around them to protect them from the evil one, that they will be continue to serve you in this capacity here at Dunning Park Chapel. Thank you, Lord, for them. Thank you for their service. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What do? You get this magazine? Sorry. You get this magazine, Cornerstone? David Dunlap, Alan's dad, he is the editor of this magazine. In the latest issue, he writes an editorial about elders. And he answers the question, what do elders do? And he takes several points from Ezekiel chapter 34. I found that strange when I first saw it. Elders, Old Testament, Ezekiel, huh? Well, Ezekiel was raised as a leader for the nation of Israel. And what God's qualifications for leadership are the same in the Old Testament as in the New Testament. What do elders do? This was not David Dunlap's first point. This was actually his last point. I put it first because it's my sermon. Number one, they shepherd the flock. You know that sheep are dumb? They need a shepherd. They need someone to guide them. Someone to pastor them. Do you know that the elders, when they meet, spend a great deal of time in their meetings praying for us? You know that? We're important to them. So I've asked right now one of the elders, if I can get this mic to work, there we go. Bruce, could you come up and please pray for the congregation here as a pastoral prayer as an elder here at Dunning Park?
Father, we come to you humbly, recognizing that you are the God of the universe. We're so very thankful that as God, you love each of us. Father, we pray for Dunning Park and all the folks that attend Dunning Park. They might find great joy in their hearts because they know and love you. We pray that the joy that they feel in their own hearts might be shared with others, that others might see the Lord Jesus as well. And on our heart, we have a number of issues today. We're concerned for Tom Coombs and his health and Judy and the struggles that she goes through emotionally because of it. We're also remembering Alice Ann. She's recuperating at home now. We're thankful for the surgery. We pray for Judy Larimore and Dick as he helps as well there. We pray for Don and Liz and the challenges that they've been facing recently. We pray for Lois. We pray for John, especially for Lois's eyes. We pray that they'll at least maintain where they are. We'd like them to be better. We pray that they'll at least not get worse. We pray for our Sunday school teachers and the great stuff that's going on there now, downstairs and across the hall. We pray for those that are involved and the trustees and the elders. Lord, may the words of our mouths, the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Bruce. They shepherd the flock. Number two, they minister to the broken and diseased. As Bruce just said, they're praying for those who are sick amongst us, those who may be in the hospital or those who are just suffering otherwise. It's part of being an elder. Number three, they seek the scattered. You know, sheep are dumb. We wander away real easy. And the elders are concerned about people who have scattered, are no longer here, and they reach out to those. Number four, teach the word. An elder is to be given to communicating God's truth to people. And this is what John is doing in this third letter. There are three people that were mentioned in 3 John. Did you catch them? Were you listening as I read? Were you reading as I read? Three people. Two of them I see as heroes of the early church. Their names were Gaius and Demetrius. Remember reading about them? And then there's one person who is an evil leader. That's not my word. That's John's word. Evil. What was his name? Diotrephes. Good name. And from these guys, we're quickly going to learn some traits to aspire to and traits to avoid. First of all, let's do the avoidance, the negative ones. Diotrephes. We read that he did not acknowledge the authority of spiritual leaders. John said he wanted to be first in everything. It was all about him. What's the opposite of that? All about others? Giving? Being generous? Right? Number two, he said wicked things about them. The New International translates it as gossiping maliciously. In the Greek, it literally means this: talking nonsense. I like that. They were talking nonsense about John because John and these good teachers that John was sending to them was battling this Gnosticism, this heresy, this false teaching. Number three, they refused to show hospitality. John the elder was sending teachers to them. And Diotrephes said, no, you're not staying in my house. I refuse to show you hospitality. Why? Well, if they got hospitality, then that might challenge whose power and control is, right? He wanted to have nothing to do with them. Matter of fact, John says, worse than that, that anybody in the churches who offered hospitality to these teachers sent by John, what did Diotrephes do? He kicked them out of the church. This is a guy who is power hungry. And he is the person that John calls evil. Things to avoid. Traits to aspire to. Number one, their reputation is known to all. John says, you know about Demetrius. You know about him, his reputation's good. I know about him, his reputation is good. His reputation is good even to the truth, John says. Why? Because he is faithful. He walks the truth. Well, we say he walks the talk, right? How can you be faithful to the truth if you don't know what the truth is? Question to think about. How do you know the truth? Well, some people say you read the Bible. That's a good start. How do you know the truth? Well, you listen to good preachers. That's good too. How do you know the truth? Study to show yourself approved unto God. What's that first word? Study. Not read. Study. Do you study God's word? So you can walk the talk. Number three, show hospitality to God's servants. How can you show hospitality? Well, you take them out to lunch, right? Invite them over to your house for lunch, right? How did John or Gaius show hospitality to these good teachers? Paid for their trip. Paid for their trip? Can't see it because the sign's in the way. What are we doing tonight? Showing hospitality to people who live on the opposite side of the planet? Yeah. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 12. Number four, obedience to leaders. Gaius wanted to do battle with Diotrephes. Does John tell him to do that? No. Not his job. That was John's job. So what did Gaius do? Not do battle. He's obedient. Do you think Demetrius wanted to go to Asia Minor? No. Did he go? Yeah. He's probably the guy that carried John's letter to them. Why do these guys do what they're told? Sign of spiritual maturity is obedience. Number five, giving financially, support of missionaries. Number six, concern for the church, the growth of others. The elders pray for us. Do you pray for us? Do you get those emails from the prayer chain and go, oh, that's too bad, and then forget about it? Number seven, imitate what is good. Paul, 1 Corinthians 11, he says this, imitate me as I imitate Christ. How can you imitate someone if you don't know what they're like? Pretty hard to do, isn't it? These are the words of Jesus. It's in John 15. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. What's the opposite of that? If the church loves you, keep in mind that it loved me first. We're in the church. There's some things there to aspire to, as Gaius and Demetrius were examples of these things. And that's what 3 John is about. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you that you have given us leaders here at Dunning Park who are concerned about us, who pray for us, who work for our benefits. And Father, we ask you that you would bless them and that we would be a blessing to them and that we would be a blessing to each other as we continue to encourage one another to love and to good works by things that we can aspire to. and a void in our lives. Father, we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.